from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Good morning. Happy Thursday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show.
G, Ursula and I just have to inform you, we have hit the Thursday wall.
I look, Heather, I heard your wall just now.
I can't say my last name. The exhaustion level has just reached a point.
You know what? That's Lordy. Exactly what it is. Let's keep it on the block wall. Right now. I am exhausted, and that's what I'm blaming for.
You'll need nap time.
Let me ask this. Before Heather, I'm glad you're in right now, because I did hear you just a second ago with your Thursday wall. I really have to ask this before we get to agree to disagree. For professionals such as yourself and Ursula, like you guys, this is what you do. You have been doing this for years. Me personally, I mess up like it's every 5 minutes.
So you want to know how we can mess up after we've been doing this?
No. I want to know. Like I want to know how much does it impact you when you do mess up?
Ooh, you know, the key is that's when you know you've kind of rounded the corner and you're professional, is you just let it go. Otherwise, you end up like Wile E. Coyote rolling down the hill in the large ball, and then the anvil falls on your head. So you have to sort of nip it in the bud and go, okay, I messed up. I will keep going now.
Yeah. I, even after 32 years, when I mess up, I'm the hardest on myself.
Oh.
And I just cringe. I really cringe. And so that last, I was texting with G and Laura, our producer today, and our last segment, I said, well, I think my career has just hit a low point.
But see, people love you. They don't mind. We're all human, right? We're human.
But Ursula, like one of the things that when our listeners heard that last segment, they keep texting in, and I agree with them. I look at it like this. When I hear Heather Bosch make a mistake, or if I hear you, Ursula, make a mistake, I don't look at it like, ooh, ha, ha, ha. I look at it like, oh, yes, you guys are human. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah. Yes, we are.
Thank you. And I'm more, you're more endearing that way.
I will share one thing, and it was a breakthrough for me. Uh-huh. Because as broadcasters, you always have that recurring dream of having to do a newscast, and either you can't find any of your stories, your equipment goes belly up the wrong time, or you're trying to find a phone to call in a story and the world's burning down and you can't find it. I mean, these are the things that often keep you up at night.
Right.
And there was one time I was doing a newscast when I was still doing 6 hours of newscast every day.
Right.
And there was a newscast where I had just turned on the mic. The sounder was finishing, and suddenly you see that death spiral on the computer, and it was that one newscast that I didn't print anything out. And, of course, you would love to think that, oh, I'll just ad-lib it. But, you know, you're talking about five stories, right, with audio. You're in the moment.
Yeah.
You want to be able to be factual. So my worst nightmare came to fruition, and you know what? I survived.
Uh-huh.
All I said was, I'm having a technical issue. I'm going to have to get back to you. Here's a commercial.
But do you still have the nightmares? Because I mess up and I still have the nightmares. The nightmares don't go away.
They don't. I mean, I still have, you know, how long was college?
Oh, Lord.
I still have that college exam fear that I walk in
can't
and suddenly
find the
room. It's a final. And
no,
yes,
Lordy.
And of course, I didn't study for the right test. So we have those, and I know psychologists can break it down.
Nightmare scenarios brought to you by G. Ursula and Heather.
Yes.
Well, when I mess up, I say, oh, you guys are listening to the G. and Ursula Show. It makes sense. That's what I do.
Anyway,
right. Thanks,
we got
Heather.
A good laugh out of it. Thanks, Heather.
Hey, coming up. Let's do it. Let's get to Agree to Disagree, brought to you by Johnny Tsunami.
One of these days, we just got to take off the gloves. Just really go at it.
Department stores were already struggling. 40% have closed since 2016. At the start of the pandemic last spring, several huge department store chains filed for bankruptcy, including Neiman Marcus and JCPenney. So many people are saying they've moved almost entirely to online shopping. So now that we're working our way back to normal, will department stores come back too, or did the pandemic end an era?
It ended an era, in my opinion, and here's why. I look at someone like myself who I'm really into clothes. Ursula, you know that. I love fashion. I love clothes.
You do.
I've been to the mall one time in the last year. So I believe it was already moving that way. I just believe the pandemic expedited that whole entire process. I mean, I never thought, considering back in the day, looking at when my mom and dad would, you know, tell me to look for things to get for Christmas. I don't know if you guys used to do this, but I would take the Sears catalog and I would circle my toys of things that I wanted. Mm-hmm. If you would have told me, or maybe you listening right now, 20, 30 years ago, that Sears would not be the top dog, you'd be sadly mistaken. So I believe that there has been a hit to the malls, Ursula.
There absolutely has been a hit to the malls, but I don't think that they're going to go away altogether, and here's why. Have you been to South Center lately? Have you been to Alderwood Mall, Bellevue Square? They're all bustling again. So as soon as they were able to open up, they are maybe not back to pre-pandemic levels because the hours have changed and that there's still requirements. You can't open fully, but there are still people who want to go to malls. Why? Just the other day, I was trying to buy something on Amazon, and I have purchased some clothing on Amazon, but I don't have the luxury of trying it on. I have a couple of items now that I've purchased. They weren't quite the right size, and so they're still sitting in my closet because I don't want to hassle with returning it, and I, you know, didn't do it in time, and I lost the packaging, et cetera, et cetera. I love the fact that you can still go to a mall. It's an activity. Mm-hmm. You can interact with people. Yes, it's a little bit differently with the pandemic, but there's something to be said about being able to go there, try it on.
Uh-oh, stop right there.
What?
Nah, I knew you were going to say that. I was waiting on that.
Oh, because yeah, right now you can't.
Some places aren't letting you do that.
But you will be able to eventually. And if it doesn't fit when I get home or go in my car and try it on or whatever, I can return it without a problem. So I think that there is, and still there are restaurants there. And again, I just went to South Center about a week and a half ago, and I could not find a restaurant. And yes, there are still restrictions in place, but we had to wait an hour and a half to go into a restaurant. So I don't think that it's going to be gone altogether. I hope it doesn't, because I still do enjoy going to the mall.
Ursula's 253 texts in says, gee, did I just hear you say you love fashion? The same guy who was wearing short shorts and Crocs the other day? Ursula, tell the people. I mean, you guys see me, I wear Crocs and I wear velour sweatpants and all those kind of things playing around, but I love fashion, trust
yes,
me.
Yes, he does. He's always styling on Fresh Fridays. Mm-hmm. And also, you know why he's had to give, if he was going to give a percentage of what was in his wallet and what his wallet was made of. She likes those fancy name brands.
Laura, what you got?
New research from the University of Washington confirmed that 23 dogs in our state tested positive for COVID-19, indicating that the virus can move from humans to their pets. But cuddling with a pet while you're sick is half the reason to have a pet at all. So, knowing the risks, would you socially distance from your dog if you were sick with COVID?
I'll start with this one. And I'll say yes, knowing now what I know. And because I love Scoots that much. So if I were sick with COVID, thankfully I haven't been there. I would choose that time not to have him sleep in my bed and kiss him, as the doctor told us last hour. And I love my Scooter hugs and kisses. And I unfortunately have given him the privilege of sleeping at the foot of our bed, so he thinks it's his right now. But I would try to keep him from getting sick. Yes.
All right. Okay, now I'm not being funny. I'm being serious when I say this. No, I would not separate from my dog and or cat, my cat Vito.
So what did you do with Vito when you were sick?
What do you mean? Same thing. Nothing changed. And here's why. I believe that animals, our animals, know what's going on with us sometimes better than doctors. They know if we need some TLC. They know if we need some space. And I think that if a dog was sick or not feeling well or had something, I believe that dog can feel it, the vibe, and be like, you know what? I'm going to stay away from my owner for a while until this stuff goes away.
Yeah.
I believe the dog might know more than some of these experts.
You might be onto something, because if I'm in a bad mood, I think Scooter knows. Not that that happens that often. Okay, Laura.
All right. If you had braces as a kid, did anyone tell you that you would have to wear your retainer forever?
Yo.
Literally forever. No end date.
I'm going first.
So many people who lost track of their retainers after high school say they feel bamboozled by their orthodontist when they had to get braces or Invisalign again as adults. Go ahead.
I don't know how many orthodontists are listening to the G and Ursula show, but I got a problem with you. Why did you guys not just basically tell us that after our braces, hey, just so you know, you're going to have to wear this retainer forever? Like, I just thought that I had to wear it for maybe 6 months or a year. And then after that, okay, you throw them away. My teeth are straight. See, that's the secret. So now folks got to go back and re-get braces all over again. There's no way in the world I should be getting braces twice. Because now, Ursula, right now my bottom teeth are fighting for position. No, you know, you first. No, you first. No, you first. Like, no, excuse me. Excuse me.
I am going to speak on behalf of orthodontists and their assistants and everyone who repeatedly says to the teenagers who come in and get their teeth straightened and their parents who've paid thousands and thousands of dollars that, yes, they say that you need to keep wearing your retainer. You need to keep wearing your retainer. Have you been wearing your retainer? They look in your mouth and they can see you've not been wearing your retainer. How many times has your child lost the retainer? One time, Scooter actually ate my son's retainer, and we had to get one. And then yet, now as adults, both of them have slightly crooked teeth because they, no matter how much they were nagged, they did not wear their retainer. So I don't blame the orthodontist. I blame you.
Well, the orthodontist back in the late 80s and early 90s, how about that? They didn't tell us.
Yeah.
Maybe the new orthodontist today, but back in the day, they did not stress the retainers the way that they did.
Okay.
Laura, how about your orthodontist?
Well, okay, so I actually have really personal experience with this because I got Invisalign on Monday, like this week. And I wore my retainer faithfully for 6 years, but I gave it up like halfway through college because I was like, okay, it's been 6 years. I mean, my teeth aren't moving at all. I probably don't need this anymore. And yeah, I graduated college 3 years ago and I'm already back in the game. I should have put my Invisalign in for this segment because it's giving me this really glamorous lisp. It's awful.
Okay. And remind us though, when you don't wear a retainer and you have to get it put back on, or the braces put back on, or retainer, we're talking. So we thought it would just be a couple thousand dollars, right? Apparently not, Laura.
No. I am paying $5,000 for this procedure.
Okay, so
over the course of a year,
we have just given people ammo, so parents can listen to this. And now you can say you heard on the G and Ursula show that it'll cost at least $5,000 to get your teeth restraightened if you don't keep wearing your retainer. I think we're helping people.
And play the sound for your kids. Joey, do you want your teeth to sound like this? You first. No, you first. You first. You don't want
jockeying
your teeth doing
for
that.
Position.
Did you know that families have to spend up to $100 on disposable diapers each month, which adds up to $1,200 over a year? It's a huge strain on some parents. So Washington lawmakers are considering an $80 monthly stipend to help low-income families with the cost. What do we think?
I'm going to go first here, and I'll say absolutely. I don't believe how expensive diapers are, and I know there are going to be people arguing and saying, well, why should it be up to taxpayers to support that? But for especially when you're talking about low-income families, $1,200 a year, you don't want to have to make choices like, should I eat healthy food or what can I give up because my child needs diapers? Nor do you want your child to have to wear the same diaper for too long because you can't afford it. I think $80 a month is not a huge amount, but I think it would definitely be helpful.
Diapers and baby formula should be free. That way somebody you can have access to that. I mean, look, if there's one thing that I know whether you agree with that or not, maybe you don't. Maybe you're like, gee, here you go again. Want to give everybody free stuff. Okay, that's fair. But even if you do believe that, I know you would not want a mom and dad that are together that are struggling to be able to get baby formula and or diapers. So you wouldn't want that either. So if that's the case, yes, Ursula, Laura, I am definitely on board with this.
Failed Republican candidate for governor Lauren Culp is back in politics. He's challenging Dan Newhouse for his seat in Congress. They're both Republican, but Culp is pro-Trump and Newhouse voted to impeach Trump. Is this a race that will define the GOP's position on Trump's legacy going forward? Or is this just politics as usual?
No, it's not just politics as usual, because we know that there are a lot of Lauren Culp supporters out there. And we also know that with Dan Newhouse, he called for the impeachment for Donald Trump. So what's going to happen here essentially here in the state of Washington, within the state of Washington, will be a split within the GOP. Is that a good thing for them? I don't think so, but we will see going forward. Ursula?
You mentioned he had a very passionate following. I'm talking about Lauren Culp. He didn't win the gubernatorial race. In fact, he lost pretty handily, but the people who supported him were very passionate about him. So I'm curious how that is going to translate for his run for Congress. And I think it might be closer than what we imagine. Mm-hmm. I don't think Dan Newhouse has really made a big name for himself. And in fact, the first time we heard about him, at least on this side of the mountains, I'll say, is his vote to impeach Trump. There's not a whole lot that you hear from Dan Newhouse. But I think, like you, G, I think it is going to be a defining moment for our state GOP, just because it'll explain, like, is it still very much pro-Trump, or are you looking for someone who has more of those moderate and traditional conservative values?
Right.
Okay, there's going to be one last one here. Oh, okay. We have to do this, even though we're super late. Go ahead, Laura.
A new study says that sleeping for less than 6 hours a night after age 50 increases your risk for dementia by 30%. 30%. Oh. So when you see these kinds of studies, do they make you try to do better, or do you just feel awful and stick with your bad habits?
Ursula?
I wanted to get to this because last night, for the third night in a row, I got less than 4 hours of sleep, and that should explain everything about today. That's the only reason I wanted to talk about.
I cannot confirm nor deny if I did send a text to Chef documenting time and date.
Thank you. Hey. So I said it was a low point in my career and you want it documented. Thanks.
Coming up next, I have a confession that I want you guys to know. I love Taylor Swift songs. Well, coming up next, we find out how Taylor Swift's new album, how that's going, and what's that going to do to her old album. We explain that next. It's G and Ursula.
I'm 5 years old. It's getting cold. I've got my big coat on.
It is 11:34, and you are listening to the G and Ursula Show. This is Taylor Swift. She has just released her new Fearless album, which features all the songs on her original album, and it has already shot up to the top of the Billboard charts. It is the biggest debut of the year. It's already had more than 140 million streams in its opening week. So why are we talking about this today? So you might not know this unless you are a big Taylor Swift fan and you've been following this drama, but a couple of years ago, her first six albums were sold as part of a deal for her original record company. And she was irate, as you can imagine, because essentially she pretty much lost most of the rights to her own music. So she couldn't profit off her own music. So now she is rebranding all of it and re-releasing all of it. And apparently fans of hers are thinking the sound is that much better. And so they're snapping up different copies of Fearless, and they're you know, promising to buy more. And so I thought it'd be fun to kind of listen to the old version and the new version. And I know this is something that Laura is really excited about, too. But again, this is kind of a revenge thing, which I think Taylor Swift has shown that she's really good at that. And she's showing the record companies, hey, I can play the game. So I'm going to be able to have the rights to my own music. So here, that same song is, this is the old version. So listen to this and see if you can tell the difference between the old one and the new one.
I'm 5 years old. It's getting cold. I've got my big coat on. I hear your laugh and look up smiling at you. I run and run.
Okay, sounds really nice. And here is the new version.
I'm 5 years old. It's getting cold. I've got my big coat.
Okay, can I be honest?
I can't tell the difference.
I cannot tell us, but, and maybe that's the point. You know, Laura, did you think that it sounded better?
I think a lot of people are saying, and I agree, that there is an emotion to the new songs, like that unnameable sort of musical quality of knowing that she's, you know, what, in her 30s now, and looking back on these songs she wrote as a teenager, and there's sort of a heart to and a nostalgia to singing them again.
Okay, now I'm just getting goosebumps at you describing that. Now, okay, I'm kind of getting it.
Thanks.
Okay.
I mean, I also think she has a strong fan base, so people are going to stream the new music rather than the old to sort of support this revenge plot. But I do think making them sound so similar helps erase the old version and make it worthless to the people who own it and won't sell it back to her.
And as you, your great point too, there's also a whole new generation of people who'd be listening. So she has huge numbers of fans, and I don't think she needs to worry about that. But there's a whole another generation coming up and hearing it for the first time. So they're really not losing out on anything.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I listened to the original album in high school, but I wasn't really a Taylor Swift type of high school student back in the day. And there's something really nice to know that high schoolers today, though, are going to, you know, listen to this new album. And it gives it this whole new rush of attention. And these songs are great. You know, I loved listening back to them. I remember when these were popular and they were on the radio. And it's great to hear them again and have them be popular again.
How come I never, when reading up on this whole Taylor Swift thing, for some reason, Laura, that whole, the angle that you just gave us about why someone would want to buy the new Taylor Swift stuff, because you would know that Taylor Swift would actually be getting, like, this is her stuff, like the money and the royalties, this is going to be going to her. The majority of it goes to her. I never thought about that part of it. And Ursula, I like that part, even though I couldn't tell the difference.
Absolutely. I thought there was going to be like something crystal clear. You know, technology has changed. You know, did she use something different in the recording studio? No, but maybe it is like you said. I mean, there's that nostalgia. You still have these, you know, awesome, kind of uplifting songs, what you loved about Taylor Swift. But she can. I love that she has found a way to work around this. Mm-hmm. To be fair, this is something that happens very frequently in the music business. But sure. I know that it's frustrating, especially for people who are creating music right now. I mean, the pandemic has pretty much done a real number on local musicians, musicians in general. And so it's great to see someone like Taylor Swift have a way to get around that.
Let me ask this. I want to go the other side of things. And Laura, I need to ask you. In this case, there are some that will say, oh, my goodness, Taylor Swift, how much more money do you need? Or they'll say she's greedy. What would like people who understand this situation say to something like that?
I think a musician should have the rights to their own music, for one thing.
Yes.
Yeah, it's about the principle of the thing, 100%. It's not about the money.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, let's listen a little bit more as we trail out and get ready to wrap up our show.
I'm 5 years old. It's getting cold. I've got my big coat on. I hear your laugh.
Okay, still ahead, we are going to be doing your words and my words to live by. I hope you enjoy this song by Taylor Swift. Got to say, it's putting me in a good mood.
I like it.
You are listening to the Gia and Ursula Show.
Ursula Show. Happy Thursday to all of you. Tomorrow's Fresh Fridays, Ursula.
I know. And you are free to come in.
I'm free to finally come in. It's been a long time since I've seen you guys.
Too long.
Yes, yes, yes. All right. It is now time for your text and then Ursula's Words to Live By. Ursula?
A lot of people texted in and also posted on Facebook about your guardian angel returning your lost wallet and cell phone. And then you gave her that big reward. So I want to start off with Philip, who posted something on our Facebook page. Let's keep it a buck here. If G put both his wallet and phone in the cart, it simply proves that he is a man of his word. And here's why. See now, if G were the type of person to say one thing and do another, then he would obviously have been wearing cargo shorts. Now, since the items were left in his cart, no, come on now, let me finish. I'm just trying to keep it a buck here. We can then presume, notice I didn't say assume there, that G was indeed not wearing cargo shorts and is therefore a man of his word who practices what he preaches. Ursula, your thoughts.
Who?
Okay, this is Philip who says, I clearly listen entirely too much to your show, and yes, you need to read all of that with G's voice. I love it. Thank you, Philip.
He
got it.
Word for word on what something that I would say.
Wow. And here's why.
As a matter of fact, somebody else texted in that you said that today. You said it, and they said, hey, G only says that.
Yes, I know. And I also say, keep it a buck now. Look what you've done.
All right.
Area code 206.
Yeah, I've done it too. I found a wallet and mailed it. I've found phones and always have gotten them back to owners. Facebook works good.
206 says, I'm actually tearing up knowing that there are still so many good people out there. I drove to the address one time on the driver's license to drop off a wallet.
Yeah, that's awesome. On Representative Jayapal, supporting a national free college program. 206 says, my wife and I make just a little over $125,000 combined a year. So we would have to still pay $120,000 for college for our kids when somebody makes just a little bit less than us would get free university education. That is wrong.
Which is why you support free college education maybe without the salary included in there.
Yep.
253 says, let's remember we do have a program where we have free college for high school students. It's called Running Start.
Hey.
That is a good point.
425, love the trade school option. We are going to be in big trouble without those experts if young people don't pursue the trade.
So true. 425 says, education pays for itself. A higher educated population is a lesser strain on society. People who work, pay taxes, and don't collect welfare pay it on one end or the other. I would rather have people productive and happy.
On Lauren Culp's congressional run, 253 says, I voted for Culp. Kind of more like an I hate Inslee vote, but I was over him when he wouldn't concede the race when it was more than obvious he wasn't going to win.
Yeah, that went on for months.
Can I stand up for Lauren Culp in this case? His big bro was doing the same thing.
Oh, no. Okay, you know what? I'm not going to stand up for that because he has his own mind and he can make his own choices. And there was zero evidence in the case of Washington, and he knew that. On banning facial recognition technology, 360 says facial recognition might not be a big deal if everyone continues wearing masks after the pandemic dies down.
That'll be Ursula wearing those masks. On the new research that dogs can get COVID, 253 says, tell your doctor I will not socially distance from my dog.
And G's in agreement with you. 360 says, no nose swabs for the dogs? Well, that's a relief for the dogs, no doubt.
253 says, social distance from my dog? I've been more careful than most during this pandemic, but these recommendations are honestly becoming ludicrous.
And then Rachel from the 425 says, well, what about cats?
These cats got a mind of their own. on vaccine snobs. Is Pfizer more elite? In that conversation, 253 says, I'm a Moderna snob. I am following Dr. Fauci's lead.
Hey, hey. 206 says, Pfizer for the win. Totally bragged about it last night.
253 says, well, what was the name of the last flu shot you took? You don't know.
Good point. 425 says, Moderna is a Bentley. Pfizer is like an Aston Martin. Then you got your Hondas and your Fords like the J&J.
How dare you?
Can we just go back to saying...
Yes.
Whatever vaccine that you get and whatever is available, take it.
So you mean to tell me 253 says that they get better better sale receptions after they got Pfizer?
Okay. And if you're just tuning in and just hearing that, that is a joke. Okay. Right.
No text. Read one more. 425 says, hi, G and Ursula. I look at the vaccines like teams, and we are the free agents. You don't always get to choose which team picks you, but you accept because you want to play the game. Team Pfizer!
And then finally, 206 says, I never heard of vaccine snobs. I could care less what vaccine you get, as long as you get one.
There you go. Ursula, it's now time for your words to live by.
So if you weren't listening, was it 947? No, it was 1047.
It was 10:51 to be exact. But go ahead.
I'm going to call it one of the more embarrassing moments in my career. And I was trying to explain. I hope my son wasn't listening, because if he was listening at that time, he probably would have driven off the road. It just, no words could come out that were appropriate. And in any case, I had to laugh. So this is from a listener who was trying to make me feel better. And it is... our words of the day. Blessed are we who can laugh at ourselves, for we shall never cease to be amused. Love you. I love you, whoever wrote that in. Thank you. Made me laugh. And I hope all of you have an amazing day full of laughter. Yeah, the sunshine's not here, but it'll be back. And we'll have more glorious days ahead. But enjoy your day anyway.
Thank you, Ursula. Laura, are you with us tomorrow?
She is. I'll answer.
Am.
Okay. Thank you for your hard work. And Andrew, thank you for everything you do for us behind the board, brother. And we do this again tomorrow. I'll be in studio with you guys, so just prepare. I have not been in studio in over a month, so there might be a little extra energy during tomorrow's show. Enjoy the rest of your day. We appreciate you guys for listening. I love you for that. Be good.